Catholic Radio Indy now presents Faith in Action, a program that looks at how everyday people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Our program is underwritten in part by Franciscan St. Francis Health, providing faith-based integrated health care, a recipient of HealthGrade's 2015 America's 100 Best Hospitals Award, and by Marian University, a great Catholic university dedicated to providing students with excellence in teaching and learning in the Franciscan and liberal arts tradition, preparing transformative leaders for service to the world. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action. Welcome to another edition of Faith in Action here on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is MJ Crowder.
Jim Ganley.
And MJ, I don't know if you've been to the Catholic Radio website recently or not, but we've added a brand new feature that I kind of challenge everybody who is listening but not driving a car right now to check out on our website. We actually have a very top item on the website, a 3-minute daily retreat.
Oh yeah.
And it changes every day, and if you click on it, you'll be taken to a site where there'll be quiet music, scripture passage, some reflective questions, and a little prayer, and you're all done. But it's beautiful, soft music. There's outdoor scenes of just kind of quiet, idyllic places.
Oh, I like that. And only 3 minutes.
Only 3 minutes. You can do it faster than that if you want to, because you determine just when you're finished with this one, you click and go to the next one.
Now,
but every day
if,
it's different.
Do you know if you do that, if you have to do it from the from your laptop or your computer, or can you do it from your mobile device? Do you know?
When you go to our website, that's the best way, CatholicRadioIndy.org. CatholicRadioIndy.org. When you go there that way, you'll actually be and click on the link on our site.
Okay.
You'll be taken to another site, and on that site, there are directions so that you can get that very same feature
daily
sent to you daily on your mobile device or phone.
Oh, I like that. Okay, good.
And they're always beautiful. Just super quiet music, beautiful, beautiful photography, and then a scripture verse, a couple of questions to reflect on, a prayer. And you're all done.
You know, I like that because we've spoken about here at Catholic Radio. We started this last Lent and we did it through Advent this year about being intentional with our prayer life.
Right.
So I like that. It's a 3-minute. Anybody can do 3 minutes.
And if you're in a hurry, click faster.
I like that.
You'll be done in a minute.
I like that. Our guest today on Faith in Action, a longtime supporter of Catholic Radio. I've known George, long time, since he was knee-high to a grasshopper. Welcome, George McGraw. He's the founder and executive director of Dig Deep. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you, MJ. Thank you, Jim.
It's kind of wonderful to have you sitting across the table as an adult. It's just kind of wonderful. I have memories of years and years ago, you know, sitting around the kitchen table when you were much an adolescent. But
yeah, your kitchen table is slightly bigger than this.
It's a little bit bigger than this. And a lot of kids around it.
A lot of kids.
Okay, George, this is interesting to me, very interesting, and I'm sure to our listeners, because your life could have taken many different directions, and yet, going to Loyola, you went to Loyola and jumped off there, and you had all different options. I mean, you grad school, law school, who knows, doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, if you will, and after pursuing an education, a wonderful education, you chose something completely different than a lot of people. I mean, founding a Fortune 500 company, you know, you could do that. Entrepreneur runs through your veins, you know. And this kind of is perfect. It's just perfect. Dig Deep is perfect. So take us back to, I want to go back to Loyola, to you thinking about what you were going to do with your future. So you're in school, college kid, because we've got a lot of college kids who listen to us. Where were the roots of Dig Deep? Where were they born, and how did this start? And was it in college or was it post?
No, it was in college. You know, I chose water, which is what we work at in Dig Deep. But it really did start in college. I think the thing that nobody tells you when you're in college, or maybe before, or sometimes even after, is that you know, the best laid plans of mice and men. You never necessarily know where God's going to lead you in life.
Sure.
I never would have guessed, even by the end of college, that, you know, 7, 8, 10 years later, I'd be running a nonprofit working in water and sanitation access. No, it's a little bit of an embarrassing story. So,
love that. We all love
stories. Yeah, everyone loves to be embarrassed on public radio. I was in class taking a human rights law class. Actually, it really kindled my love for human rights law. And as you know, I later went and studied human rights law at the United Nations University. Mm-hmm. And we had to do a thesis over the course of the semester on a particular human right. We're supposed to read the declaration, pick a human right, and then we'd do a multi-part thesis on, you know, what that right is and what it means to protect it and who's acting against it and who's acting for it, and with a really international scope. And I flew to the library right before class and wrote my thesis proposal on the human right to water. Hmm. Yeah, and I turned it in, and the next week I got it back with no grade and a big C me on it.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, that's never a good thing.
Yeah, never a good thing.
No, that's like when your girlfriend texts you, like, we need to talk.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's not going to be a good deal. Yeah, so I got the paper back and went up to the professor, this very severe Romanian diplomat.
Ooh.
And he said, "Did you not read the Declaration of Human Rights?" I said, I did. He's like, "Well, if you had read closely, you would realize that water is not a human right. You know, we've never, as an international community, protected it." And he said, "As your punishment, you know, over the next semester, you'll be writing your thesis on what the human right to water should be and who suffers without it. And good luck finding any information."
Oh my goodness!
And it took a lot of work that semester to figure out, okay, so if a human right to water were to exist, who's suffering without it? What does that mean? You know, if we're to protect a human right to water, what does that mean? I mean, how much water? What kind of water? Who gets it? Who doesn't get it?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And really, that really just springboarded me into this career in law, in which, for some reason, at a relatively young age, you know, I'm almost 30 now, I've been able to be sort of one of the global leaders on positing, you know, what a human right to water should be and how we should be protecting it. And it's been an incredible journey.
Well, the interesting thing is, George, a human right to water. I mean, who's ever heard of that? I mean, we've heard of all kinds of things. I mean, human rights. I mean, depending on which declaration and which constitution and which, you know, whatever you're reading. But a human right to water. The curious thing about that is we don't think much about that in the United States because our right to water comes with a flip of the, you know, faucet.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you know, most people in the United States take water completely for granted. I mean,
sure.
The biggest question we have on a daily basis is, are we turning the cold button, the cold
right.
handle, or the hot handle? You
right.
know,
right.
You know, but from billions of people around the world, and certainly for the almost 1 billion people that don't have any access to clean water, the question is not will it be hot or will it be cold, but where am I going to get it, and can I get enough to survive today?
Yeah, that's just
you know, that kind of makes it almost the prime right. I mean, all the rights that we have, speech and things like that. What's the right to this? What good is the right to speech if you don't have enough water to sustain yourself, sustain your life?
Well, yeah, it seems pretty basic. I mean, that seems pretty basic.
But, you know, that's exactly the reason that we didn't for so long have a human right to it. You know, we don't have a human right to breathe air either.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that, you know, were formulating the Declaration of Human Rights after World War II didn't think
sure.
of water because it is so basic.
Right.
And because they come from similar circumstances, you know, as we do, and
sure.
they took water for granted themselves. And so while they spent a lot of time in the context of, you know, post-World War II era, the Cold War, figuring out what a human right to religious liberty or to freedom of expression or freedom of the press or even welfare rights like access to housing and food, which are rights in the Declaration, they just kind of forgot about water.
Sure. Well, only because it's right in front of us. I mean, it's predominant. I mean, you're right. It's easy. It's very easy for us. Our guest today on Faith in Action, George McGraw. He is the founder and executive director of Dig Deep. I love the name. I know that the first time you were our guest,
mm-hmm.
we talked about the name, but there are people that are listening. I love it because it's kind of a double entendre. It's you know, different meaning, couple different meanings, and I love that. But I also love the story of how it came about because, I'm a mom.
Yes, so every Catholic family will love this story.
Love this story. So tell us.
Well, you know, we had the scope of work for what we wanted our organization to do before we had a name. Dig Deep has two primary functions. The first thing we do is we work in communities that don't have access to water all over the world, but also right here in the U.S., which I'd love to talk about. And we help those communities develop their own water utilities for the first time. and they're community-led, and they're really responsive, and they sort of measure the way water improves other human rights outcomes, like education and health and gender equity. And that's really only one half of our work. The other half of our work is with communities like yours or mine, MJ, where people have access to water that they often take for granted. And we help those communities understand their resources better, understand how to protect them, how to conserve them. And the hope there is that when we connect communities like yours or mine to a community that doesn't have water in a place like New Mexico or South Sudan, that we connect not just as their donors, but as their equals. And, you know, that really has its fundamental basis in natural law and Catholic social teaching.
You know, George, I think of you every morning when I brush my teeth.
Because you'd be surprised how many people say that.
Yeah, I do. It's because of you, George, that I turn off the water when I brush my teeth. It's because of you. And that's pretty incredible, because if I'm not the first person who's told you that, I know Anna does every time. Anna, my daughter Anna, did the 4-liter challenge. And I want to get to that. It'll probably be after the break. But so the name Dig Deep.
Yes, it's my mother's idea.
Thank you.
Yes, there it is. So I took the concept for the organization to her. You know, my friends and I were going to start up this new thing, and what should it be called? And she, you know, was in the other side of the room. I don't even think I was talking to her at the time. She was probably doing the dishes or something.
That's
and she
such
just,
a mom.
Yeah,
such
perked her head right up and said, "Dig deep."
And, right, just like that.
Yeah, right, just like that. And you're absolutely right. It fits so perfectly because, you know, what we do as an organization a lot is to dig. It's got a, you know, a real, it really has a, it's a meaningful title for the work we do. But at the same time, it's got a really catchy use.
Yes, it does.
With our donors, because we, you know, we ask them to dig deep into their lives, into their pockets, to adjust the way, of course, they think about water, but also to adjust the way they support water projects. And so it's been very useful.
I love it.
Thank you, Veronica.
Yeah, we need to take a break, and we'll be right back.
We know life can be a bit hectic, so you may not have the time to catch your favorite Catholic radio indie programs when they air. That's why we now have all of our weekend and weekday locally produced programs available on podcast. You can listen to Faith in Action, The Last Pew, and Catholic Jukebox Indiana, along with our newest shows, The Faith-Filled Physician and The Catholic Cave, anytime, 24/7, by going to our website, catholicradioindy.org. Click on the Programming tab, then go to Podcasts of Local Programs. All your favorites will be waiting for you right there, so you can check out our local program offerings anytime. Catholic Radio Indy, your source for 100% Catholic programming on the air and now available on podcast. The Great Lakes Gabriel Project is an ever-growing Christian-based network of church volunteers standing together in their commitment to offer assistance to women and families facing difficult or unplanned pregnancies.
I'm Eileen Hartman with Great Lakes Gabriel Project. If you're interested in volunteering to help this life-affirming effort, please go to our website, goangels.org, for more information.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guest today, George McGraw. He is the founder and executive director of Dig Deep. In the first half, we kind of talked about the genesis, how it all kind of got started, the seeds, how the name came about. Love that story. Now I'd kind of like to switch gears a little bit to, I think most people will think water projects, yeah, we've all heard of them. Sure. We've all heard about people going over to South Africa and digging wells and people in different parts of the world who need water. And we can wrap our head around that because we get it. We get that. But what's interesting about Dig Deep is you have a really interesting story about, I think you were looking for funding or looking for, and someone challenged you.
They did.
Okay, tell us about that, because I do want to get into the Navajo project. So let's talk about this.
So when most people do think of, you know, water access as a basic problem, they think of places like Asia, Africa, sure, Latin America. And I was no different. You know, I mean, I have been, you know, sort of rigorously educated on this topic. But even I thought, okay, we're going to start this organization. We're going to start in South Sudan.
Sure.
And we started there because it was the world's youngest democracy. We started there before its independence, so in the middle of a civil war. It's a beautiful country with beautiful people, but there wasn't a lot of great work being done in water and sanitation access. In fact, you know, more than half of water projects at the time all over the world were failing within the first year. And so we thought,
Really? Yeah,
if we take a human rights-based approach and really empower these communities to help themselves and start in one of the most difficult countries, we can kind of change this dialogue.
Right.
And about a year and a half into our work, we got a call from a donor, a sweet woman from Ventura, California, who was running a Catholic missions trip to the Southwest, to rural New Mexico on the Navajo Nation. And she called and said, I'd like to make a donation to a project. You know, I've raised $5,000, but my only stipulation is that you use it here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you must be crazy. You know, where the heck am I going to spend that kind of money here in the U.S.? I don't know if you are, you know, from the U.S., but right. Most of us have access to running water.
You smart aleck, you.
I know. Yes, it's a product of my age, I think, and maybe my generation, too. But, you know, she said, no, that's, I just came from a place, you know, where kids grow up without running water. They get to school and there's no running water. Or if there is running water, they're showering at school and doing other things because they can't do those things at home. And you need to get in a car and go and figure out what's going on. And it goes to show, I think, how global this problem is, that it even affects us here at home. But the truth is, after a couple years of sort of intensive study, and Dig Deep has had to do a lot of modeling, a lot of statistical modeling to figure out the scope of this problem because so little is known about it. But it turns out there are 1.7 million Americans, which is, you know, a number far, far bigger than I ever would have imagined, that live every day without running water, without a tap, without a toilet, without a shower.
Mm. That's pretty incredible.
All in one area of the country, or
no? Actually, there are three main populations, all of whom we hope to work with as an organization over at Dig Deep. But the three populations are American Indians or Native Americans, 13% of whom across the country don't have access to water. The other population are migrant and undocumented workers, a lot of whom live in farm towns, even here in the Midwest, in the Ohio River Valley, but especially in the South and West. So in California, Texas, Arizona. And a lot of them, of course, you know, can't fight for their own right to water because they're afraid to show themselves to the authorities.
Sure. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, and the third, which is, you know, the one we often take for granted, are the homeless. So homeless people, of course, don't have access, regular access to a bathroom or to a sink. And there are great organizations already doing wonderful work in those for those populations, homeless populations. But to date, Dig Deep is the only global water organization working here with communities in the U.S. providing access to clean water.
Okay, so in your research, you you happened upon the southwestern part of the United States.
Yes.
Okay, and this I'm sure was a big eye opener for you.
Huge eye opener.
I've enjoyed following this on Facebook, the kind of progress on Facebook. But you last year, and I was totally all in. It was Christmas presents for my kids last year. Was the Navajo Project, and I loved it because I love Pendleton blankets anyway, and so you offered Pendleton blankets, and something interesting about Dig Deep, listeners, and this is, I think, unique, because I've never heard of another not-for-profit that does this, but 100% of what people donate to Dig Deep goes to your project. I mean,
yeah, and I can tell you, it's a real pain in the butt. we don't pull a portion of any of our donations for our administrative costs, which means I need to go to people or to foundations and ask them specifically to help
That's
us keep the
incredible.
Lights on.
That's pretty incredible. Yeah,
it is incredible, and it's really built some beautiful things. So on the Navajo reservation, as you mentioned, where we're working, it's the country's largest Indian reservation. It's about the size of the state of West Virginia. It's huge,
and that's in New Mexico.
In New Mexico, okay. Arizona, Colorado, and Utah. I mean,
oh,
it's really massive.
Oh my goodness! Okay.
If it were a state, it would be our 10th biggest state.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah. And you can imagine that over 40% of people there don't have running water at home. And these are, of course, Navajo American families. I mean, these families vote in our federal and state elections. They have a zip code. They have a phone number. They go to public school. They're Navajo, of course, by culture, and that's really important to them. And we recognize and honor that. But the truth is that, we need to step up as Americans and help other Americans that don't have access to clean water.
And they don't have running water.
Yeah, my goodness. They do not have running water.
Okay, so tell us, because this is, last year was the Navajo project. You are in the middle, I understand, you're in the middle of
We're still in the middle of that existing project, and we're working to expand across the reservation. So last year, what we were working with the Give Water, Give Warmth campaign, selling blankets, and then it was a one-for-one. So you'd buy a blanket, we'd give a blanket to a family that often don't have electricity or heat in the winter, and then $100 of that donation would also go toward a water trucking program. And
that was a great program.
We're really proud this year to have brought a new water truck and a new driver online. And what we do is we deliver water from safe wells that are really deep in the middle of these communities. And we deliver them around to each of those families. And they keep that water in barrels or in buckets or in pickle jars. I mean, when our water truck shows up, they'll pull anything out of their house that'll hold a drop. And we'll fill it. We're working toward digging some new wells in that same area that are safe and more accessible, and that work will happen in the spring. People have been really generous toward that. But this Christmas, we're focusing on the homes themselves. Part of water poverty in the U.S. isn't just that people don't have it, but that it's not running water. You know, they really understand when they go to school, these kids, or when they watch television, that everyone else has running water but them. So we'd like to take water from buckets and barrels on the porch and bring them into more conventional sinks and showers. And so actually, I was just on the reservation last week and we installed the first of these systems, but that's what we're focused on this Christmas.
Okay, so how difficult is this? I'm thinking about the old, and I know nothing about running water. I know nothing about, I really don't. But I'm thinking about the old time toilets where you pulled, where it's like a gravity type thing.
The John Crapper.
Exactly. So how sophisticated can you get? Because I'm imagining that I've seen on Facebook, this giant truck, water truck comes up, and people just fill up containers and then take it back to their houses. But you have to think in your mind, you have to have imagined a step beyond that, that they actually do have water in their homes.
Yeah, and unfortunately, because of the way the community developed it, it will be impossible to hook all of these homes up to what you and I would consider traditional water lines. They're just too far away from each other. I mean, up 15 or 30 miles a house.
Oh, my goodness.
And so, to hook up lines like that costs hundreds of thousands of dollars to houses that are worth maybe a couple thousand dollars.
Got it. Okay.
So what we're doing is we're going house to house. We're digging out 8-foot pits, and we're sinking 1,200-gallon cisterns, so gigantic water tanks, into the ground. They hold 1,200 gallons at a time, and we're filling those with the trucks. And then we're putting a pump inside the house that's either powered with electricity, if the family has it, or with a solar panel if they don't. And that pump brings the water out of the tank into the house and into sinks and showers that we're installing at the same time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and it's wonderful. I mean, we were just there last week. We were working with this beautiful family. And the two parents are 25 and 29. They have 4 children of their own, and the mother, Olivia, is also caring for her 2 sisters who are living with them. They're living in a 700-square-foot hogan, which is a traditional Navajo home, but it's one room, all 8 of them. And they were using about 300 gallons a month. I mean, you and I use over 100 gallons a day for 8 people, including children. We were there at bath time the first night. I mean, it really is incredible how they make this water stretch. But over the course of a week, we put in the first test system, and they turned on the water for the first time, and their eldest daughter, who's, I think, 5 or 6, walked up to the sink and said, "Mommy, it's raining inside."
To get to witness that, George, is incredible.
How is all of this funded? I mean, you are doing near miraculous things, but it can't be done free.
No, it's entirely donor-funded. It costs us about $3,100 per home to install a system like this. Which is, a chunk of change when you're when we're building hundreds of these systems over the next few years. But I think it's actually our team at Dig Deep has come up with some beautiful ways to share that cost with others. So we've launched a holiday campaign at digdeep.org/Navajo. And people can go in and they can purchase a system for a family, or they can buy part of that system as a Christmas present. So you can buy the sink, or you can buy the pump, or you can buy the cistern, or you can buy a plumbing kit. People even have mailed us, checks in the mail with rubber duckies or something that we've sent over to these houses.
But that's wonderful because it gives you a sense of ownership.
The giver.
You can say, I bought someone a faucet. I bought someone a sink. I bought someone a water instant. Bought water for their home for $3,100. There are pockets out there who are listening right now to Catholic Radio that could do that.
They could
write you a check for $3,100.
And what about the $10 and $20 donation people, too, that want to help?
It breaks down all the way to there. I mean, people support us with one-time or monthly gifts that just support our water trucking program. So for around $50, I mean, you can provide water delivery to a person for a month. So water delivered to a family for a month and for less, you know, per person. So we have people that give at all levels. And of course, people around the holidays love to buy gifts for other people too. So we actually, one of the most exciting things I think about this particular project is we worked with a ceramicist, which is a word I've just learned, someone that makes stoneware in Los Angeles, and he's from the Southwest. So he took minerals and clay from Arizona, New Mexico. He took water from our water truck on our project. And molded them into water bottles, 1 liter ceramic water bottles, handmade. They're absolutely beautiful.
Oh my goodness.
And we're just selling 100 of them for Christmas on that same website. And if you buy a bottle, it provides a donation of $100 to the water access projects in people's homes.
You know, it reminds me of a little Facebook post you had not too long ago of a picture of a little Indian child, and he had a quizzical look on his face, and he said, "So wait, you throw water away because it's old?" You know, this look on his face. Our guest today on Faith in Action, George McGraw, founder and executive director of Dig Deep. It's a water project. George, we just have really a couple minutes left, and I promised you off air that I'd seed you the last minute and a half, 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. We haven't spoken about everything I wanted to get to, but we covered enough. So for people that are listening and they want to help, what do they do? What's your biggest wish list, the top of your wish list? And I'll give you the last minute and a half.
Thank you. Well, of course, it wouldn't be an interview if I didn't give our website. So if you'd like to learn more about our work or support specifically the Navajo Project, you can visit digdeep.org or digdeep.org/Navajo. And I really, you know, I think we have such an opportunity on Catholic Radio to discuss, you know, how important this work is in a really unique way with a unique lens. And I think it's really important to say that, you know, Dig Deep is a water project, certainly, but not a water charity. You know, we don't believe that that we should set up these artificial distinctions between people as haves or have-nots, that really fundamentally being created in the image and likeness of God makes us all equals, and that really to express that dignity that, you know, that Christ came himself to express by becoming man and to protect for future generations means that you need regular access to a safe source of clean drinking water. And so it's not just a fun thing that we get to help other people that don't have access to it. It's really our duty as Catholics to reach out to these communities, whether they're in our own country or abroad, and help them recognize and protect their dignity. Because as Jim said, water is so fundamental to absolutely everything.
Amen. Amen. Our guest today on Faith in Action, George McGraw, founder and executive director of Dig Deep.
One more time, the website there, if you would just...
digdeep.org and digdeep.org/Navajo, N-A-V-A-J-O. There's no H.
Wonderful. 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 You done good, George. God bless you. God bless you for all that you do.
Thank you. God bless you both.
To help us understand better the needs and the right to clean drinking water.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten in part by Marian University and by Franciscan St. Francis Health. If you'd like to suggest a guest or a topic for a future program, call us at 317-870-8400 or email mj@catholicradioindy.org. And remember, you can hear or download this program or any Faith in Action program 24/7 at catholicradioindy.org. Just click on the Programming tab and select Podcasts.